I want us to turn this morning to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. And I want us to consider together one of the Beatitudes there in verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I suppose it's this time of the year that we start thinking about our summer holidays. And with the weather we're having at the moment, we wish they were here. But yes, we think of those far off places and those beautiful places where we go to, and we long to be there and to relax and to enjoy the scenery and to enjoy all that's going on around us. And so we look forward to those times. You may have your holidays already fixed. I have mine. I'm going away. I'm not waiting till the summer. I'm going away in March, actually, but I'm going to the summer. All right. We have a daughter in Australia, and so we're going to visit her out there in Perth. Not that I particularly want to go to Australia, but it'll be good to see my daughter there. And on the way there and on the way back, I shall see my son in Dubai. And no doubt we shall get some sunshine there also. But the whole joy of going there is not to visit Dubai, that materialistic place. Have you ever been to Dubai? It's just full of this world's goods and all that this world can do. There's great high skyscrapers and the tallest building in the world and all the rest of it, all the big malls and the shops, and all it seeks to do is to show you what wealth can do. We went there a couple of years ago. In fact, we were there 2 years ago. And we went to the big hotel there, you know, which is built like a sail. And all outside is a row of white Rolls Royces. Well, we went inside, and what a place it is. But it's all of this man's goods. We go to see our family, and we go to see our young grandson, who will be 2 years old tomorrow. So that's our joy of going to such a place. And we do enjoy looking forward to things, don't we? But what other things do we enjoy? Last year, I think it was in September last year, an old age pensioner was congratulated and regarded as a hero because he was in a plane, in a single engine plane, and it was only him and the pilot on the plane. And as they were flying somewhere across this country, the pilot collapsed. I was going to say at the wheel, but it's not quite at the wheel. It's at the joystick or whatever it is you operate a plane with. And so this man, this old age pensioner, was left there to almost helpless. But he followed instructions from the ground, and he was enabled to bring that plane down to earth safely. And so he was able to get off. Sadly, the pilot had collapsed, whether it was a heart attack or whatever, but he died from whatever it was. Now, some people might regard that as a blessing. You think, what a great shock perhaps it would be for the loved ones, yes, but on the other hand, what a great way to go. That's how we talk, isn't it, sometimes? You know, no suffering, nothing like that, no long illness to put up with. Suddenly you're taken from the troubles and the trials of this world, and you're gone. But in a sense it could be a blessing, couldn't it? The Bible tells us and speaks to us clearly that when we die as Christians, we go to meet with our Maker. In fact, all of us go to meet with our Maker. I wonder if you would regard that as a blessing. As Christians, of course, we would. It is our joy to come and to face the Lord Jesus Christ and to see Him, the one who has loved us and who has given His life for us and saved us from our sins. What a joy that is. One day, says the Scriptures, we shall be like Him and we shall see Him as He is. But would it be a blessing for you? Our verse tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus is describing here what, for us, what a Christian is like. And all these Beatitudes, as we call them, are different aspects of the Christian life. And a Christian who is one who is blessed in many ways. I like to think of these Beatitudes almost like a wheel. And the Beatitudes themselves are like the spokes of a wheel. And they move on as you go round those spokes. And you come to a full description of what a believer, what a Christian is like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says as he begins these Beatitudes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so you go on to the next one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then finally you will come to the blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You've come round full circle, haven't you? It's a description of the believer, of the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ is described here as one who is blessed because they are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. But what is a pure heart? What do we mean by a pure heart? What do we understand by the heart? We tend to think of the heart as emotions, don't we? And we think of love and this sort of thing. Next month it's happening now, isn't it? You go into the shops and you look around and everybody is talking about Valentine's Day and providing things for Valentine. If you pass some of the pubs, you will see book now for a Valentine's meal and all this sort of thing, and we get Valentine's cards, and what is on a Valentine's card? We have a heart. It's all supposed to be about love and the emotions. But when the Bible speaks about the heart, it speaks of more than that. In fact, when the Bible speaks about the emotions, it speaks more about the bowels rather than the heart. And sometimes we think in that way, don't we? We talk about having a gut feeling. And that's what is meant by that, but the heart is much more than that, isn't it? It's much more than the emotions. The Bible speaks of the heart, and it includes our wills and our minds, our thinking. It includes all about us. It is what a man is. And our hearts are what we are ourselves, in our persons, in our characters. It's what makes us us. And that is what the heart is. It's the whole of our inner being. Our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our wills, our desires, and everything else. But how do we see ourselves? How do we view ourselves and what we are like? We meet someone for the first time, and how do we view them? How do we assess them? How do they look? How do they dress? How do they speak? What sort of an accent do they have? Where do they live? What sort of a house do they live in? And what sort of job do they have? What sort of education have they had? What sort of car do they drive? Are their kids well-mannered? And so we look at a person and we look at his possessions and we work out and we think to ourselves what kind of person that person is. We judge them by what we see. And that is how often we look at ourselves, isn't it? We compare ourselves with others. We compare ourselves with what the world is doing and what the world thinks and how the world values things. And so we tend to think of ourselves in this way. Am I better than he? Am I worse than he is? And so this is how we tend to look at ourselves. We really need to ask ourselves, how does God see us? I'm sure most of us here know how God spoke to Samuel and a long time ago, and how he told him to go and anoint Israel's future king. And so he goes to the house of Jesse. And there, as he is directed by the Lord, he goes to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the future king of Israel. And so Jesse, on hearing what Samuel has come for, he brings in his oldest son. And Samuel looks at him and God speaks to him and said, no, this is not the one. And so they go down through all his sons, there are seven of them. And Samuel says, well, these are not the ones. Have you any more? I have one more, says Jesse. And so he brings his youngest son in. And Samuel realizes and is told by God, this is the one to anoint as king. And the Lord reminds Samuel that God, as Samuel had looked on the outside, he saw a big strapping man as Jesse's first son came in. He was looking at the exterior. But God says to him, God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward, he looks on the inner side of the man. And that's how God sees us. He sees what we're like in our hearts, the things we desire, the things we think, the things we love. I remember last year walking into Pershore Market, and it's a very good market, and there are some very good stalls where you can buy fruit and vegetables. Mostly they're very fresh, and they had some, and they often do have some things all bagged up for a pound. I thought, well, there's a bargain here. And there's some nectarines there. My wife loves nectarines. And so we got a bag of nectarines. They look lovely. Smelt all right. We picked them up and took a bite. And they were all mushy inside. They looked all right. But how often this is a picture of us. We may look fine on the outside. And we may look well according to how the people of this world think about us and how we think about ourselves. But how does God see us? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, doesn't it, that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And Jesus himself says in the Gospels, out of the heart comes all kinds of evil. Evil thoughts, murders and all sorts of things come out of the heart. So you may be thinking about your heart. You may be saying to yourself, well, I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. I am a Christian. But you realize and you recognize that you still fall short of God's requirements. There is still sin in your heart and in your life. And you ask the question, what is a pure heart? What is
a pure heart.
And we can turn to the scriptures and we are reminded there of what a pure heart is. Psalm 86 and verse 11 reminds us something of what a pure heart is. Psalm 86 and verse 11, where we read, Teach me your ways, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to fear your name. Or, as you may have it, give me an undivided heart. A heart, a pure heart, is a heart which has one aim and one purpose, one desire, and that is to glorify God, the God who has made us and the God who has saved us and the God who keeps us and the God who provides for us. And if we have a heart to know him and to glorify him and to know him better, is a heart that we can describe in a way as a pure heart. It has one purpose, one goal. Yes, we may sin, we may fall short of God's standards, but we have that desire, we have that longing in our hearts to honour him and to glorify him. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this, doesn't he, in his letter to the Philippians. And in chapter 3, when he is talking about himself and he is mentioned of what he was like and what he once believed in and trusted him, he himself says that outwardly he was one of the best. He was one of the Lord's people. He was born a Jew. He was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Outwardly, he was almost a perfect man, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is by the law, blameless. You would have said of this man, here is a man who has a pure heart. But what does he say in verse 7? He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And so he goes on. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is what it means to have a pure heart in this life. A man who is so taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ, has a great longing to be like Christ and to be with Christ, and to know Christ more and more, and to be conformed more and more to his image and to his likeness. Here is a man with an undivided heart. A man whose heart is united in one thing, and that is to seek the glory of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to become like him. So that is what a pure heart is. And we come to that, first of all, of course, through the gospel. We must come, first of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must confess our sins and trust in him as our Lord and our Savior. He died for us that we might be forgiven. He died for us that we may be made whole, that we may be made righteous, that we may be made pure in heart. He took the place of us as sinners on the cross, what the sinner deserved. It is there that we must first come before we can have a pure heart and know God and have an undivided heart. Yes, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and he gives us new hearts. We had a meeting back last year in Worcester, and we have a meeting once a month for people from off the estate where we gather for worship, and we meet on a Sunday afternoon. It's an informal meeting, and they come and they sit around tables, and we have coffee and tea and provisions there, and we sing together hymns. We read the scriptures and we have a short ministry. And a number of people come, people from the estate who don't normally go to church. And then one day, from the time last May it was, we had a number of men there. And someone had chosen the hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And one of these men who was sat there was about to sing this hymn. As he started singing, he just burst into tears and he got up and he walked out. That hymn spoke to him. And he came to see that he was a wretched sinner. That it was the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross, and he died in his place. It was him who should have been there, and he came to realize that. And we thank God that that man was saved. He's a man who's in his 40s. He's probably only worked a couple of weeks in his life. He spent a couple of years in Dartmoor. He'd been on drugs and drink. But the Lord has saved him and forgiven him and given him a new heart. And now he has a desire to seek God and to serve God. And so we can have that new heart. And we can have a pure heart, an undivided heart, as we seek our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when do we see God? Our text tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes, we see him when we first come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, we have not known him. We have not known what he is like. We have not worshipped him as we should. We may have known something about him. We may have even said he was a good man, or even said that he was a prophet, or a great teacher. But we have not recognized him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It is only when the Lord comes to us and reveals himself to us that we really see God, and we see him then for the first time. The Apostle Paul tells us, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians and in chapter 4, when he speaks of these things. Let me just read a few verses for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. verses 4 to 6. But even if our, verses 3 to 6, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. We cannot see the gospel, we cannot understand it before we come to Christ, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the one who has forgiven us our sins, it is then we see Him. It is then we see Him as He is. We see Him as our Savior and as our Lord. Just as Andy did on that Sunday afternoon. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, taking His place. Yes, we see God when we first come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and put our trust in Him as our Savior, the one who is the Son of God. We see Him also, don't we, in creation. And we only see that, don't we, after we have been converted. Yes, we see God's handiwork. We see something of the character of God in the things that He has made. We sing the hymn sometimes, don't we? Heaven above is a softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Yes, we can see God even today. We can see God in the things around us. We see God in providence. Things that happen to us that clearly show God's hand is in it. Sometimes it is a dark providence. We may be taken ill and we may go through the valley of the shadow of death. But it is there that we see God. And we know God is there. There may be something hard with which we struggle, which drives us to our knees, so that we seek Him more and more. We see God in providence. We see God in it. Yes, we can see God today. We see Him now. But we don't see Him clearly, do we? As the Apostle Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. All that obscures our vision now, our sin, our earthly bodies, will be gone, and we shall see Him in His glory. We shall see Him in our new resurrected bodies. Christ is coming again, and then we shall be saved, and we shall see Him and be with Him forever. Yes, we shall see Him as He is. What a glorious day that will be. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to the time when you will see God face to face? The text says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How can we maintain a pure heart? How can we keep our hearts pure? Well, we have to cooperate, don't we, with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit works in us. And works in our hearts and our lives. And He it is that helps us to purify us. And helps us to see ourselves as we really are. And to come to Him and to seek after Him. Again, the Apostle Paul teaches us, doesn't he, in his letter to the Philippians, that he says this, that in verse 12 of chapter 2, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to work at it, but for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit works in us. There is a process which we call sanctification. God works in us by his Spirit, but we also have to work. If we are to maintain a pure heart, we are to work out our own salvation with God's help, him working within us. So it's 100% God and 100% us. Knowing and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming like him encourages us to do this, doesn't it? As the Apostle John says in his first letter and in chapter 3, those wonderful words where he reminds us that we shall see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is. And he says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself, in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. So we need to keep in our vision, keep in our minds and our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him and to seeing his glory. Like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, we must be longing after Christ. And as we need to long for that day when we shall see him in his glory and we shall be like him. For this, says John, will help us to keep our hearts pure. And then we are reminded from the Old Testament, aren't we, how we can keep our hearts pure. Psalm 119 reminds us there, doesn't it? In verses 9 to 11, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So how can we keep our hearts pure, maintain a pure heart? By reading God's word, by meditating upon it, by loving God's word, and by applying God's word to our hearts and to our lives, by living according to that word. So this is how we are to maintain a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are we looking forward to the day when we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him? We shall only do so if we have pure hearts. May God help us to seek him and to serve him. Amen.